I am Chris Spieler, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell.
All right, guys, we're back. It's the week before the CrossFit Games. You're listening to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official sponsor of the CrossFit Games. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. Thanks for that smooth entry, Ben.
Well, it only took me 2.5 tries.
Yeah. So we're just a week out. You know, events are already posted for next Thursday, next Friday, coming up. You're heading out this weekend, correct?
Yeah, I leave on Friday, so it's a couple days from when we're recording this. Get to go kind of see the lay of the land before everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
You're excited. You are. You should be excited. You're an honored position this year as part of the demo team. It's pretty cool, dude.
I know. It feels pretty good.
Yeah, it feels pretty good. Ben is smiling so big right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love it. And then I'll be joining you a little closer to game time next week. But let's talk a little bit about expectations, not necessarily for you. Obviously, we don't want you to screw things up out there on the floor demoing.
That's definitely a possibility.
But let's talk about some expectations for this change of venue. Now we are on our third CrossFit Games venue, right? Started in Aromas, was there for 3 years, went to Southern California, was there for 2010 through 2016, so 7 years. And now we are moving to Madison, Wisconsin, to the heartland. What have you heard?
Well, I've heard a lot of different things about the actual place. I've heard Wisconsin is a beautiful place this time of year. I've heard all kinds of things like that. But I haven't really heard the greatest things about the travel in terms of getting there, right? Like getting there is going to be tough because you have your flights are, for the most part, going into Chicago or Milwaukee. And then you've got to either take a small plane over to, you know, to Madison, or you've got to get a car and drive. So that's making the entrance into Wisconsin or into Madison a little bit more cumbersome. But, you know, that's one of the maybe on the negative sides. But I've heard a lot of people kind of excited about just the change. You know, it's just been in the same spot and they're ready to see something new.
Right. I've never been there. I'm excited to go check it out. The reputation Madison has as a college town is pretty well known around the country. And I think one of the things that's negative about it's hard to get to, there's not a lot of hotels, right, that are, you know, compared to a place like Southern California. But that might also work to the advantage of the vibe of the event, right, when you're there, because you kind of feel like you are, it feels like it's a little more insulated, you know? It's like that whole town is just going to be about CrossFit for the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that's a good point. It's kind of like going to a nightclub or a restaurant, right? If it's too big and there's not many people there, it's not that fun. But if it's small and it's packed, you're like, I love this place, you know, and your elbows are rubbing against everybody else. And you're
right, exactly. When you're down in Southern California for the CrossFit Games, people are staying anywhere from 10 minutes away or 2 minutes away to like an hour away. There's so much options for where to eat, where to sleep, all these different things, right? At this place, hopefully, it's not like that. It's like everywhere you go, you're going to see people, spectators. You're going to see athletes out for dinner. You're going to see judges, you know, all that kind of stuff. I feel like that's kind of what I'm expecting is a little more of a camp feel, you know, like you're going away to this CrossFit camp where there's this awesome competition also happening.
Well, and, you know, it's easy to kind of buy into the idea of going to Southern California for the games because the games are there. And then, you know, if you get bored, you can go to the beach. Or if you get something else, you can go, you know, check out. There's so many things in L.A., Hollywood, or Universal Studios, or Disneyland, right? There's all these different attractions, right? The people who are going to Wisconsin for the games, they're diehard, right? So the commitment level and I think, like, the fever pitch that's going to be there, you know, it's going to be epic.
Right. And the spots were limited, right? There's less tickets sold, I think, because it doesn't hold as many people as the StubHub Center. So those people really want to be there. That's for sure.
What's crazy, though, is I heard the opposite. I heard that the stadium, although smaller, is more filled than before. Like, they've actually sold more tickets in advance. That's what I heard.
Probably maybe more of the Gold Pass tickets.
There you go.
Right, the tennis stadium tickets.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll be honest. I was kind of, I don't like LA very much. And I was kind of over being down there. I felt like even though the venue itself was suitable and it was well set up for TV and a lot of things like that, I feel like they'd done everything they could do to maximize the experience there. And honestly, the experience is probably average as a spectator at the CrossFit Games in Southern California. The best part of that experience was going to the beach and watching the, you know, the stuff on the pier when they do the ocean swims and things like that. Like, that's awesome. But once you're in the, when you're in the stadium, not everybody can get into the tennis stadium. You're walking around through Vendor Village and like just the pavement is just so hot. There's nowhere to get out of the sun. It's just like they're taking this sport that is, you know, it doesn't have a set parameter for what the venue should look like. And they're jamming it into these pre-established venues. So I think it's a hard task. I think it's difficult to make the spectator feel like we felt at Aromas, you know, cause basically that was an empty canvas. They built that, or they designed those first CrossFit games on a hill, right? With a barn. And it's like the spectator is right on top of everybody. You had access, you had this awesome outdoor element to it that I think is lacking at StubHub. So maybe, I don't know, we'll see what happens. I think there's definitely, there's a ceiling that it hasn't reached yet, I guess is my point.
I would not disagree with that at all. Some of the workouts have been announced already. You know, we've seen, I think what we're going to see for Thursday, that's the run, swim, run, and then the bike event, which I don't think we know how long that is. I saw somewhere that somebody put 50 miles. I have no idea if that's rooted in any kind of reality, but it was a coach of a known CrossFit athlete.
A 50-mile mountain bike.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I have no words. I don't really know.
Well, I'll give you a word. Insane. Like that. Unless they're just on a trail and they're using mountain bikes because they're cheaper than road bikes, but they're actually on flat pavement, 50 miles is totally reasonable to ask these athletes to ride on the road. But if it's actually like over terrain, up and down 50 miles, good night. No way. Like that is beyond difficult.
So we'll just say then the 50 miles was maybe an erroneous or wild guess.
Or the terrain is flat. I guess, I mean, we are in Wisconsin. It's probably not mountainous there. Maybe it's like a loop, you know, they have to go 50 miles on a loop, but most of it, it's not like you're climbing up over peaks and stuff.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of times, man, when you go mountain biking, I mean, we have a lot of it here in Northern California, so I'm not sure where everybody's listening from, but the climbing is not the tricky part. It's the downhill, right?
On mountain biking?
Yeah, on mountain biking.
Because of falling?
Because of falling, people going over the handlebars. And if you have a bunch of people on like, you know, pretty narrow track coming down together, you're going to crash. Like there's, especially with people that don't mountain bike very much. And people are going to get nervous and you hit the brakes too much, you slide out. So I'm waiting. I'm very, very excited to see what this bike is. But I would guess it's probably something where the terrain is not that technical. Just to be on the safe side. Now they did do that mountain bike out at Camp Pendleton, you know, a few years back. What was that, in 2012? But you know, a lot of that was they had to carry their bike for some of it. You know, they were walking it up the hills. People were really spread out by that point in the race because it was a triathlon. So,
how far was that? Do you know? Do you remember how far that was? That portion of it?
The bike was not far.
Okay.
I want to say, gosh, I think the swim, was that the year they swam with the fins?
I think so. 700 meters or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I want to say the bike was like 5 miles or 10 miles or something. And the run was equivalent. It was a longer run. I think the run distance was similar to the bike distance, but obviously it took a lot longer because you're running.
Yeah. They did that whole up the trail and did the whole thing.
It wasn't 50 miles. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the run, swim, run, because we know the distances on those. We have a run that's a mile and a half. I'm assuming running to wherever they're going to swim.
Correct.
Right. Doesn't need to be spectator friendly, right? Because it's Thursday. So they'll run there. They'll swim 500 meters. So a distance, but not, not too far, right? Again, this is going to be a running workout, right? Your best runners are gonna do well in that workout. Obviously, your people can do both, run and swim, are going to do the best. But so you're going to run a mile and a half, swim 500, and then run a mile and a half probably back to the start line. What do you think about that event?
You're absolutely right. It's a running event. We swim every week at the lake in my gym in the summertime, and we are about a mile from the gym. And 2 weeks ago, we did a workout that was run a mile, swim. I think it ended up being 600, run a mile. And the best runners won the workout, okay? Because they get such a lead. There's, unless you are like an Olympic or like a triathlete caliber swimmer, where you're really fast. Like China Cho is a really fast swimmer. So she may be able to like, or Jordan Troyon, right? He's such a good swimmer that he can really make up distance over the course of 500 yards or 500 meters. The run just, it is, there's way more disparity between a good runner and a bad runner. Is my point.
Yeah, because like Jordan Troyon might run or might swim 500 meters 2 minutes faster than me.
Right.
Right, which is a long time in the water.
Yeah.
But on land, if he runs poorly and I happen to run like you,
right,
I will be able to catch him.
Right.
Or even pass him.
Right. You have two runs, first of all.
Right.
Right, sandwiched around one swim. And the difference between someone who runs, say, a six-minute mile and an eight-minute mile, right, that's pretty common. Like someone who's a good runner can run a 6 minute mile. There's a lot of people in CrossFit that run 8 minute miles.
Yeah, even at the games.
Right.
Yeah.
And at this point now, this is not the first time we've seen a swim. It's been 6 or 7 years in a row that there's been a swim. Nobody is doggy paddling, right? So it's not like you're going to have somebody who is a terrible swimmer. They're going to make the distance. If they're a great runner and an average swimmer, you could win this event. If there's somebody out there who's a great runner and a great swimmer, obviously they have the advantage. But if we're waiting which leg is the most critical, it's the run. Also because you're finishing on the run, right?
Yep.
If you're a good runner and you got to run when you're tired, if you're a bad runner and you have to run when you're tired, your weakness is going to show up.
Yeah.
It's going to show up.
Especially over that distance and switching modalities from the run to the swim and then back to the run, having to catch people, right, or run people down.
I mean, it's pretty much, you're running pretty much a 5K.
Yeah. Right?
Almost a 5K. So that's,
you can't really hide.
You can't really hide. No. You got to be, I mean, you're going to do this workout, right?
I don't know exactly how much of this they're going to make us do.
I hope you have to do it, guy. Yeah. It's going to be so good.
I actually would like to do as many of these workouts as possible. I kind of want to get that inside of the look. But I think that some of the workouts are a little bit more predictable, like a run, swim, run, like that. Unless there's some kind of crazy entrance into the water. We got to go down some jagged cliff or something, right? And then you need to check for time domain.
Dude, that would be sick. You have to cliff jump into the water to do your swim?
Well, then they couldn't keep me from doing it.
That would
be
so good.
But I'm just thinking, like, we have to demo some of the games. Some of the team workouts, right? And so we won't be doing every single individual only workout. We'll also be doing some of the team stuff.
Oh, true,
right?
True.
And so it's going to be more of the peculiar things and maybe the things that Dave wants to insert last minute and making sure, you know, the loadings are correct.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're not going to get to do the run, swim, run.
Yeah. I'm going to dog it as much as possible whenever I can. So that way when it comes to a new event, I feel really fresh and I crush it. So that way Dave says, you know what? This workout should be heavier. And then he goes out there and he gives them a heavier version, and then we just watch all the athletes just crumble.
Do you think that means you're not going to get to do the one rep snatch either?
I mean, I think that if I was there and I wanted to one rep max snatch, I don't think Dave would necessarily, you know, balk at that. But
actually, I'm rethinking that. You guys are definitely going to one rep snatch.
You think so?
Not on camera, but I think you and Paul and Albert and Graham are definitely going to one rep snatch and see who's got the heaviest snatch.
Probably, because there's probably a format, right? It's probably every 30 seconds go type thing, you know, it can't be just like, here's 10 minutes, find a one rep snatch, right? That's not CrossFit.
That's what it used to be, right?
Yeah, that's what it used to be, but
we had 8 minutes in 2009.
Right, and what'd you snatch?
215.
Oh, same as you do now.
Oh, you wish. Maybe right now, since I'm a little hung up from too much yard work, a little sore.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that, but I'm you know, looking at that. But then this bike event right afterwards. But then Friday, these athletes have got to now turn around. And I definitely think I'm going to be doing this obstacle course.
Yeah.
Right? We got to know what the times are there and how they're running the heats on that. I'm sure they're going to want to see, you know, what that looks like. So the obstacle course is like a sprint obstacle course?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious what that is. They had an obstacle course 5 years ago. It was a marine obstacle course that was already in place. This one's being built for this event. So it could really be anything. Now you're saying it's a sprint obstacle course. I was kind of hoping it was going to be like a Ninja Warrior obstacle course.
It doesn't look like that. It looks very much more like the Camp Pendleton type setup.
More traditional.
You know, wood beams, you run down, run across. It looks more like that.
Yeah. Cargo net, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I was just saying because, it looks like they got logs to balance over. I mean, that's going to be so fun. I think once we start interviewing people out there, the athletes, I guarantee that's going to be everybody's favorite event.
For sure.
Those are hard, too. That's like a minute and a half hard effort like that. You're smoked. Who do you like this year? I mean, knowing what we know so far, I mean, it looks pretty typical event-wise. You got your heavy Olympic lift. You got your endurance with the swimming and the running. And you got your, crazy chipper already announced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's anybody on the men's side that can challenge Frazier?
Boy, that's tough. But, I mean, Ben Smith was there 2 years ago, and he was second last year. I look at these events, and I don't think there's anything that's setting up outside of his wheelhouse.
Ben Smith?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of know how he's been training. I know his programming. As I see some of the runs he does on Saturdays, he runs quite often. And it's like 30, 40-minute runs, and he's changing his tempo and his speed throughout. And he's really, really smart with that. He loves to swim.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, like that Thursday event, pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he can ride a bike. And I know he has a 305-pound snatch, so he's already looking good. He did the obstacle course in 2009 or 2007, whatever it was.
2012,
whatever. Every year is the same.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like to cite.
All right, dates. So you like Ben's chances.
I like Ben's chances to push Matt for sure. You know, like I don't think there's many guys out there that can push Matt, you know, and a guy who's already proven that he can and has.
Right.
You know, might be, you know, a guy who's beat him in the past. Like, who has beaten Matt Frazier at the games in the last 3 years? Rich Froning and Ben Smith. They're the only two people who have beat him.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
So the only guy left in that field is Ben. So
2 seconds and a first.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that. Ben definitely has the capacity. It just, I don't know. It felt a little bit like Frazier was unstoppable last year, even though Ben was, you know, second place. It wasn't really.
It was a distant second.
A distant second, right?
Yeah.
You could just tell Frazier was going to win. It felt like he was. It's like when Rich was doing it. It felt like it was him and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Not to take anything away from guys that finished on the podium, it just didn't feel like they were really threatening him. I hope that's not the case this year. I hope guys like Ben are up there. You know, a guy who I was thinking about. We interviewed at Wadapalooza is Samuel Quant. Had a great season, great regionals, is young, super strong. I really think youth helps at the CrossFit Games because it's such a grind.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how he does. This would be his second year. Last year, he was kind of just happy to be there. He seems like he's a phenomenal talent. Like, he could explode. Vellner, you know, he was there last year. It seems like he's just winning. He won Wadapalooza this year, didn't he? He's just winning everything. He won Granite Games this year. Like, so he's a stud.
You got Fikowski.
And you got Fikowski. I mean,
stud also.
This whole northwestern part of North America is strong. So, yeah, those are some guys I would look at. What about on the female side? We had the same exact finish 2 years in a row, right?
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I don't know, man. Like, the female side has always been like that kind of hard thing for me to pick. And I never would have picked the podium or the 1 through 4 to repeat themselves or 1 through 5 to repeat themselves 2 years in a row. But maybe that's just the nature of the beast because they're the only ladies with that complete package, you know, the way it's tested the games. So they don't have enough dips in their score or something. And it's just going to kind of always shake out those guys at the top as long as they want to do it. But I mean, I think about somebody like Brooke Wells maybe making her way towards the top.
She was top 5 last year, right?
Yeah, I think she was 5 or she was in top 10 or something like that for sure.
Right.
You know, and I think that she could move up. It's not necessarily I think so highly of Brooke, but I see what Ben Bergeron has done with Frazier and Katrin, and just the kind of mental preparation that he puts in, the mental game he puts in and the preparation he puts in to his athletes, I think it pays off. You know, it's like in this sport, that's going to come down to that more and more, your mental game. And so if Brooke has figured out a way to kind of add that to her arsenal, like, that's really good. I know, you know, there's other athletes out there. I mean, you have to like think about these other athletes we have a great relationship with, like Sam Briggs, like Margo Alvarez, who just put in so much time and energy into their training and what they're doing. You know, China Cho made the move over to Misfits this year, and like she's like busting her tail all the time and like digging in and grinding. And you know, she has a couple good days, and somebody else has a couple off days, and it's like you never know what's going to happen.
Right. And you also got to remember that more and more injuries are playing a role in determining who's going to the games and who's you're rising up at the games. 2 years ago, it was, by all accounts, I mean, it seemed like it was, you know, Katrin won that year, but it felt like Sarah was going to win. She kind of stormed onto the scene. But coming into that year, do you remember who was the favorite?
Coming into the year, when was it?
It's Kara Webb.
Kara, that's what I was gonna say. It was Kara.
Kara Webb, right? She was everybody's pick, and she got hurt.
Yep.
You know, and like has never been
your
able
neck
to like
or something or yeah.
Right, has never been able to kind of regain that. Mm-hmm. You know, similarly, this year we saw a ton of people go out. Like Dan Bailey went out. You know, everybody's like tearing their pecs. I feel like we're coming up against that threshold that we always wondered when we would get there. Of what is, you know, the maximum amount of work the body can do.
Right.
And it seems like these athletes are pushing up against that finally, you know, and I think that I think the mental component is huge, obviously, but also who is competing smart?
Yeah.
Right. Who is competing efficient? I really believe, and I love Katrin. I think she's a phenomenal athlete, but I don't think she was the fittest girl either of the last 2 years. I mean, she was proven to be the fittest girl. I think what I mean to say is the reason she was the fittest, I don't think it was because of her raw skills. It was because she was the most efficient.
Sure.
She has amazing talent, strength, flexibility, gymnastics, all that stuff is there. But I think other people had those things a little bit better. But nobody was as efficient as she was.
Right.
She was calm. She didn't overdo it on events that, you know, she could have. And she saved herself. The last day, she looked great.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sarah did not. Sarah right. was very inefficient. So
powering
I think...
powering and muscling through things and just right. like... Yeah, she got to that, like, that dark place maybe one too many times.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right? what I mean. Right.
Yeah.
You can't dip into that so much. So that's probably the thing I'm most excited to see on the women's side is Sigmund's daughter. Has she figured that out? Right. She went down and trained with Rich this year.
And Rich is the king of pacing.
King of pacing. King yeah. of efficiency.
Yeah.
Nothing wasted. Always.
Like the male version or Katrin's the male female version of him in some ways. Right.
Might be. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So if Sarah could pick up on that.
Yeah. I mean that's
you're
what
not
really
going to not learn something from Rich, right? Like he's been there four times, right? On top of the podium. Like you're not going to not learn something.
Right. I'm excited to see that. And then I'm kind of rooting for Tia Toomey the way I was rooting for Frazier last year. It's hard to be the bridesmaid, you know, back to back. Like you want to see someone's greatness rewarded. And she's every bit deserves to be there with those other girls.
Well, I think that when you watch what she's been doing, Tia specifically, she's been traveling around and trying to find ways to train people better than her. Like I watched her on social media. I didn't actually even follow her until the end of this year, this past season. You know, I wanted to see what she was doing, and she was at HQ a lot. She actually went down to Rich's place. She's been bouncing around and kind of seeing what she can do to kind of get that good quality training in.
Right. She's a hunter gatherer.
Yeah. There you go.
She's gathering all these little bits of information and, you know, knowledge.
Yeah. So I don't know. I look forward to seeing what she can do as well. And, you know, I think it really is anybody's game. All these guys, all these gals, yeah, they're clear favorites, but everyone who makes the games has got a shot, you know, at least a shot at the top 10, you know. I do think there are some people when you look at the, you know, the outlier qualifiers, you know, like the guys in, you know, fourth, fifth out of their region and whatnot, they're going to have a tall order beating some of the more complete athletes like a Ben Smith, like a Matt Fraser.
Well, Ben Smith wasn't, he was fourth in his region, wasn't
That's
he?
That's true. That's true.
But obviously we know he's,
yeah,
he's going to be there.
Like a proven vet, you know what I mean, in that sense. But it's interesting, you know, it's interesting. So it's an interesting year all around.
Yeah. And one of the things that made regionals very interesting this year was the fact that there was no bars, right? That can't go without saying. Ben is a barbell guy for sure. I mean, he's great with the dumbbell. He's obviously good enough to get to the games no matter what. But when we look at the programming that's been announced this year, the thing that jumped off the page to me more than anything, aside from the 50-mile bike that has been thrown around, which I don't believe, is the dumbbell push press at the end of that chipper.
Right.
Right. So that chipper was 180, 60, 40, 20, right?
100 pull-ups.
100 pull-ups.
80 GHDs.
80 GHDs.
60 pistols.
60 alternating pistols.
40 C2 calories.
40 calories on the rower. So that's like, okay, that's all stuff we've seen before.
Right.
Looks pretty good. 20. What's the 20 going to be? Muscle ups, whatever, like weighted handstand walk. What is it?
Sandbag over the shoulders.
No, it's 20 dumbbell push press, 100 pounds for the men, 70 pounds for the women. If that doesn't like jump off the page in bright red, bold letters, exclamation points, angry face emojis, like nothing, nothing will.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it,
that is so heavy.
Yeah. Especially after you have your legs and your core and your engine taken out of you. Right.
Dude. I mean,
it's a strength workout.
Yeah. It's a strength workout. It is. It really is. And anybody who's done dumbbell push presses or dumbbell shoulder overheads, like, you know that the weight doesn't balance the same way it does on a snatch. Like when you dumbbell snatch a heavy weight, the way it rotates and snaps under is a lot more comfortable than when it's resting on your shoulder, kind of cockeyed, and then you have to dip and change direction with it. It's hard to do that. And when a dumbbell is bigger, it's more, it doesn't sit right.
It's more awkward. It's meant for a bigger athlete.
Right. You need to be 6'5 and, you know, 280 pounds for that dumbbell to sit the way a 50-pound dumbbell does on a normal size human. I mean, and then to make it a push press, not like a shoulder to overhead, that is so brutal. Like, the only thing that's a saving grace on there is it doesn't say alternating, so that means that guys might be able to do this with their dominant side only. But I'm at a loss for words because I'm thinking about the women doing 70-pound single-arm push presses.
I think there's some girls who qualified for the games this year. They're in like 125-pound range. And there are some guys who are like in 175-pound range. And you take their legs away, and then you give them a 100-pound dumbbell.
Dude, I'm telling you, mark my words, if it is a push press and they are going to strictly enforce the standard of a push press where there's no re-dip under the weight, you're going to see, I'm going to say, 50% of the field stop. They might get a couple, but they're going to DNF.
50% of the field DNF.
50% of the field. Especially, I mean, at least on the women's side. Dude, just think about the size of your wrist and how much you have to control as that gets overhead. I think that when they start demoing this, when you guys get out there and demo this, he's going to change it to shoulder to overhead.
All right.
Then they're going to have a chance. They can split jerk it. You can get under it just enough. But, oh, man.
Me and Trumbler are going to smash it, so that way there's no chance it gets switched.
I can't wait to hear that. I hope you get some video of that. I would love to see that.
No, I want to do it.
100-pound push press on one side. That's just, I mean, it's an incredible challenge. I love that it's on there. I'm skeptical about the ability of the athletes to do that at the end of the workout. You know, I think it's a really, really tall order. By far the hardest thing that's on there, on that workout. And I think by far the hardest ask of anything that's been announced so far.
Right. Because all we have, run, swim, run, bike, one rep max snatch, obstacle course, and that, right? So,
I mean, it's hard. You don't come up with a lot of CrossFit Games, you know, components where you are you know, DNFing the field, right? And when you do, there's a ton of backlash. Like you saw
the pegboard or whatever
incident,
yeah,
stuff like that. I mean, or when he made girls do legless rope climbs that year, like all those legless rope climbs. I think this has the potential to be one of those types of things where, but honestly, I don't, it's not a technique issue.
Like it's pegboard,
pegboard is a technique issue. Legless rope climb is a strength issue, but it's body weight related.
Right.
You know, so like people can get stronger for their body weight. This is a large, heavy object issue, like a teetery, large, heavy object issue. If I see some of these 130-pound girls push pressing the 70-pound dumbbell, I will eat my words. I'll be the first one to like bow down. But dude, I'm just looking at their little wrists. Like, I don't see it, man. Like that's, I mean, we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Maybe they're able to like cradle with their opposite hand when it's on the shoulder and dip without it tipping forward type situation. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to come up with something.
Dude, we did a dumbbell workout not too long ago where we had to do single arm dumbbell push press. I'm sorry, shoulder to overheads. I did it with a 50. And like that was awkward.
Right.
It's awkward. We had to switch. The part that was hard was the switching hands, but they don't have to do that this time. If they had to alternate arms, Ben, I'd say there's no way. There's no way. Because even just the transition is so hard with a dumbbell from hand to hand when it's like that.
Well, I hear you. I mean, I literally did a workout with dumbbell shoulder to overheads, and I used a 70. It was really hard. And I push jerked.
And you push jerked.
And I'm a dude.
And you're a dude.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not beside myself, but I'm looking at this going like, wow.
I mean the judges better get out of the way. Like, because those things are going down. They're going to get halfway up, and those dumbbells are going to be all over the place.
Because you don't drop a dumbbell right next to your foot because you know it bounces all weird. So you always launch
it. You're throwing it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a penalty for that, too.
They better be in a sand pit. I'll tell you that much.
Well, then how the hell are you going to get some leg drive? I mean, your core's already gone from the GHDs and... You know,
dumbbells, they're probably going to make a rule that you can't drop it, which means everybody's just going to be just chest punching themselves, catching it on the ear. Oh my God.
Catching it on the ear. Oh my gosh. Dude, even like pull-ups affects your ability to do overhead, right? Like 100 pull-ups is going to affect that just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's going to affect you on the row. So your like legs, you're going to be over using your legs on the rower, which I mean, it's hard to do, but I'm just saying you're using so much of your body.
It's got to be shoulder to overhead. It's got to be.
It says push press.
It's got to be.
Unless HQ kind of forgot what those are, but it's the workout that, what's his name? Program. Maybe on, Castro's, Instagram, it says it differently, but on the website now is 2017 workouts. It says push press. So anyway,
50% of the field DNF.
50% of the field.
That's my call.
So who's going to handle it all right? Do you have an idea about any people who are going to handle it okay?
Brooke Wells will probably handle it okay. I think the people that have the really strong lower body, you know, they're going to be able to drive the weight further up before their upper body has to take over. I don't think a push press is an upper body strength.
So let's look at this
issue.
Dave on his Instagram says shoulder to overhead.
There you go.
The game site says push press.
I believe it's shoulder to overhead.
Right. It has to be, right?
It has to be.
Like, dude, what we're talking about, it has to be. Like, I was having a hard time with a 70-pounder as a guy.
Yeah.
Doing shoulder to overhead, not push press.
And the other thing about it, why I don't think they're going to want it, they don't want to do push press, is it's really hard to judge. You know? It's really hard to, like, make sure those knees stay locked out. Slight bend. What if somebody's just dipping their head under? You know, does that count? It's got to be shoulder to overhead. It's got to be. Okay. I mean, if it is shoulder to overhead, then I don't think we're going to see 50% of the field DNF. But it's still going to be hard. It's going to be way more appropriate level of hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. Way more appropriate. Less inappropriate than before.
Less dumbbell throwing and... face mangling.
You ever seen somebody dumbbell split jerk and have it go go off?
No, have you?
Yeah, I have. It's bad. You know what I mean? Like your dumbbell split jerking and you're not sure if you should use your same foot each time or if you should split your, you know what I mean? Because you go to the other side and it's all the weights on the other side.
That's
and you throw that front
you
foot out.
You have to switch your foot.
Yeah, you want to think about switching your feet. And even if you don't, you think about it. Yeah. So you're not, it's not like, it's pretty good.
Oh, man. You know what? One of the things I was thinking about is I'm surprised that the first event's on Thursday.
Yeah, usually it's Wednesday, rest Thursday.
Right.
And then go at it Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Do you think there's something else earlier in the week he hasn't announced yet? Because the athletes have to show up Sunday, right?
I don't know. I don't remember what that is, so.
Yeah.
I think they'd be ready to go Monday. Said to be there on Sunday, but I think Monday is when things. Yeah, so maybe they could. They could have something on
I think there's something. I don't think that. Yeah, that would be tough. To cram in the amount of stuff they want to cram in, you know, they love having 15 scored events, which is great. You know, the more tests, the better for a scoring purpose. But you got to spread them out, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We're getting that endurance event, that classically Wednesday event. We're getting that on Thursday.
Right.
Right. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Maybe Dave wants that extra day on like for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for him to be able to demo things and sort out kinks, right? Because we are in a new place.
Right.
So he's pushing everything till Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's on the back end.
That would be smart.
Sure.
That would be forward thinking.
Yep.
I don't know if that's how they operate over there.
They're like, hey, we're going to figure out the best workouts and we'll just work backwards from there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Say, hey, we'll jam it to fit.
Yeah.
You know, paint it to match. We'll figure it out.
I kind of do the same thing. Yeah. I'm that way.
It's all right. You know, we haven't talked anything about the teams yet. I want to get a little bit of that in before we leave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the obvious favorite's got to be Mayhem, right? I mean,
obvious.
The obvious favorite. But looking at the score breakdown, they actually, I think, are tied for fourth overall when you put all the regions together. So NorCal and them tied. And then there's three teams above them.
Right. I saw 12 Labors was unreal.
Yep.
Fort Vancouver was unreal.
They're number one.
Yeah.
Fort Vancouver is number one.
Yeah, there are some strong teams this year coming out of the regional. So, obviously, the game's a different animal. I still would put my money on Mayhem until somebody proves they can knock them off. But they're a different team this year, right?
That's true.
No Hobart. I think they got a new girl also, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they have some people that are rookies in the big arena. You never know how people are going to respond. But I like Rich's chances of keeping everybody's head screwed on.
Yeah, it's nice that the team side of it, though, is getting a little bit more relevant, it feels like. It just feels like that. You know what I mean? Like with Invictus having kind of this, you know, pedigree and, you know, thing behind them. You know, the Brute guys coming together, right? Like the Wasatch Brutes this year, you know, like. That's a pretty legit team. NorCal still being out there and, like, you know, Kalipa not being competitive, but basically fielding a team and taking care of it and having six people be able to show up from there that are just going to be legit. You know, Mayhem, Fort Vancouver, right? Like, they made their own name by smashing everyone, only losing 5 points, I think, overall in the region.
Right, and they're a past games champion team.
Right.
I think it was one of the early 07 or 08. They were, one of the first Affiliate Cup winners. So, I mean, they're great. 12 Labors has been, I think, second the last 2 years? Or two out of the last 3 years, something like that. I mean, they're a powerhouse, man. And they have different people. Like, they're like the Invictus of the East Coast, where they just next man up, man. They got a whole just slew of people out there in Baltimore that are just...
Yeah, they have a system.
Amazing.
Right. And then you have out there in Baltimore, the Helmick team, whatever they are. You know, they're on the team together.
Yeah.
Like they're solid.
Yeah.
They got to be solid. They're both games level athletes.
Right.
You have like a female leader and a male leader, you know, that's pretty legit.
It's pretty legit.
Yeah. You can't sleep on anybody this year.
No, I'm probably because Matt dominated so much last year and because we've seen the same three girls on the podium, I'm probably more interested in the teams this year, even though Mayhem's back-to-back champs, it feels like there's an opening this year, you know? More so than on the individual side. I would love to see someone prove me wrong. Like maybe Fikowski just builds on momentum from last year. And it's just like this, you know, unstoppable 6'2" force to like counteract like the little, you know, Frazier's 5'7" or 8", whatever he is. That'd be cool to see them going back and forth. But to be honest, I don't see it. Like, I still like Frazier. I still like those three girls. But I think one of these other teams, I think they could get mayhem.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the events fall right, you know, and who knows what the teams are going to be asked to do.
It doesn't feel like last year where it's like, who's going to beat mayhem? If right now it feels like mayhem's got the advantage, but
right.
It doesn't feel like they're all that
right.
Unbeatable.
Yeah. And hey, this is Rich's first games outside of Southern California.
Oh yeah, he's screwed.
So maybe his magic, you know, only applies to LA.
And Carson. Yeah. He's in trouble.
He's in trouble.
Because you remember he went to Aroma for 16.5? And he didn't do so well. Matt Frazier won. See?
Good call.
He competes outside of his hometown or outside of Carson. He's done.
Good call. Dude.
He's terrible.
He's terrible. His fitness doesn't travel.
Yeah, his fitness doesn't travel. Wow. Poor Rich, man.
Yeah, I know. He's got it rough.
We're going to remove the veil. Everybody's going to see who he really is. The Wizard of Oz. The man behind the curtain. Well, like I said before, I'm flat out excited. Just overjoyed by being able to be on the demo team. Mm-hmm. It's not because I want to do something nice for CrossFit or anything like that. It's literally just because I'm excited to do these workouts on that stage, in that environment, you know, like...
Yeah, dude, it's an honor.
Yeah, just before everybody else gets to see him. Like, yeah. I think it's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Make some side money. Take some, like, money from Frazier or from Ben. Like, see who wants to know, like, an in on a workout. Like,
that's right. Hey.
Yeah.
Come to the source.
Money talks, man. You know?
Yeah, and then it's going to be great for us. We're going to have great access for interviews all throughout the weekend. You know, hopefully we do some Facebook Live as well while we're there. Oh. So you guys should, you know, tune in for that.
And you know what? Progenics is actually sending us with a bunch of single serves we can pass out to people if they come up to the booth.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we don't have them on display. It's like a secret menu type deal.
That's right. Like cool. An In-N-Out. You got to know what to order.
You got
to
know. You go, hey, Ben, can I have a single serve? Like, boom. There you go.
Boom. Cake batter.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. So stoked about that. Stoked to be out at the Reebok booth again. Just meeting. If there's somebody you guys want us to talk to, they should let us know on Instagram. Let us know on Instagram.
Yeah. Who's the most desired interview?
Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of people are actually making the trip. A lot of people are not making the trip because it's not in LA.
Right.
But I've heard some of the kind of the social media gurus of sorts that surround CrossFit. Some of them are making the trip, and we're going to get them on the show.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, that's what we'll be next, you guys. We'll be out in Madison. Hit us up on Instagram. Hit us up anywhere else you can find us. You guys can contact Ben directly, of course.
Yep, 530. Just kidding.
He is on there nonstop. He will text you back immediately.
Yep.
And we're really excited to be a part of it again. You know, this is now the, 10th CrossFit Games? 11th.
This would be the 10th.
17. This is number 11.
Number 11. That's what I said.
Yeah, the 11th CrossFit Games. How about that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, guys. Stay tuned. We'll be there, and it's going to be great.